the slack she picks up with our family. I mean, you and I both know I'm a mediocre dad and husband at best.
Hey, the sucker, Mimi, though. Buying your wife a bowl of petunias is not going to assuage your sins for being an extremely subpar father and husband.
I didn't say extremely subpar.
You didn't have to. You know, Mother's Day gifts, they just seem so desperate. I mean, take me for example. I gave my wife, Victoria, the best gift that she will ever have.
A diamond?
My offspring. What woman would want that?
Here we go.
Just let that sink in, the truth will set you free.
All right, okay.
All the phones. Is there, like, eucalyptus in here? Is that eucalyptus or is that a cat?
Oh. How much is this?
$175, I think. $175, I'm done by Wednesday.
Hey, Lamacau. Do you mind if I do? Okay, that's the only part.
Hey, hold on, give some guy a couple things.
What's happening, Mrs.? Attention, everybody! That's not eucalyptus! That is a bona fide cat! Okay.
You know what? I'll go ahead and take this before you destroy the place. Is this your shop?
No, it's my mom's place. She opened it when we were kids.
So I guess you didn't get her flowers for Mother's Day.
Actually, every Mother's Day, she would let each of his kids go through the shop and pick out something to give her. We don't pick out the biggest, most expensive things we can find.
So I guess she bought her own gifts?
She paid for her flowers and much more. She paid with long days and short nights, replacing our worries with prayer. She gave up what she needed so that we could have what we wanted. She gave up more than I'll ever really know. But she didn't look at it that way. She would say, "You all are my true little flowers, and it's my job to make sure that you are watered with love and placed in the light of the sun." I mean, that's what moms do, right? They help us grow in God's love so that we can be a witness to God in the world. So, I thank God for her daily, and nowadays I send cash to the register and I pay for her flowers on Mother's Day. Receipt!
Can you put these on the tab, please?
I love how she kind of hides the cat. Twitter. So how about we continue with a few posts from mothers to start this to continue this Mother's Day message. This was from Twitter. I'm not going to say the names of everybody, but I think you especially you moms will appreciate it. This is the first one. Good luck robbing my house. My home security system is Legos on the floor. All right. How many of y'all have ever stepped on a Lego at night or any point? Okay, all right, good. Okay, all right. The next one, I want to apologize for some of these. Okay, Chris, y'all probably not, you know, I don't know if we're going to come back here. All right, but my daughter is crying because her sister farted and I sprayed air freshener before she had a chance to sniff it. I'm raising savages. All right. Anyway, next one. Sorry, I don't make the rules. I say blatantly lying to my child about a rule I just made up. Yeah, some of y'all can get that. Let's see. My four-year-old fell off his scooter, and before I could help him, he stood up, dusted off, and whispered to himself, "Shake it off, big dog." I've never been more confused about whether something was a parenting win or fail. All right. And then the next one. I always thought I'd be a patient mom, and then I had to listen to my son tell a story. All right. I know my mom... probably has that thought about me. Okay, all right. Growing up, I was always like, "Mom, just look at me. Just, you know." I tell her something, and she's like, "Steady time." And she's like, "I know everything you said." I'm like, "How? How's that possible? You haven't looked at me once." Anyway, I was celebrating the fact my kids were all playing together nicely. Turns out, my 8-year-old opened a Sharpie tattoo shop in his bedroom. My 2-year-old now has a tattoo barbed wire across her chest and a skull with deadlock scrolled down her arm. All right, yeah, interesting. Okay, and then does anyone have directions to that village everywhere everyone says will raise my children? It sounds wonderful. All right, okay, sorry. And lastly, I'm not saying parenthood is hard. I'm just saying that I was a lot better at it before I had kids. Yeah, amen, or me. So thank God for faithful women over the years that have had to pick up Legos, wipe off markers, listen to drawn-out stories, and basically pick up the slack left over from the men. All right, okay, sorry. Amen or amen. All right, that's it. Amen from the women there. And so today's is very simple. We're not going to have 3 points today. That's alliterative. So sorry, Ms. Dolores. My Baptist preaching car may have to be suspended for a week. Okay, but we're just going to go through and look at several things that are mentioned, but they are alliterative though. So you will like that. Okay, that shows the virtuous woman is worthy of praise, and that's just a very, very short, very simple central statement for today. That the virtuous mother is worthy of praise. Adam said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, and there are Bibles if you're visiting around you, but we try to put everything on the screen as well, so you feel free to use whatever you want. And Miss Rhonda just tries her best to stay with this guy, and you know, she does a great job. All right, so Adam said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, and the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man." That's in the creation story that we actually looked at about 2 months ago. Right, but the Murphy translation is that Adam saw this new creation and said, "Whoa, man." Okay, but that's not just, come on, I'm not the only one that thought that. Okay, but what would the world be like without women? I mean, wouldn't it be a mess? Come on, guys, let's be honest. I mean, I have no idea what us men would do. Like, I have this picture of just a bunch of men running around in smelly, dirty clothes, eating whatever we could find, and, you know, and just savages. Like, you know, like, "I can't do it. What are you doing? I don't know. Where do the women go? I don't know." All right. And it's just, I just think, picture chaos, you know. But in all seriousness, though, if you want to know how important women are to our world, all you have to do is look at our churches in the last 50 years or more, okay? and see what the mothers, you know, they've been rocking it for a long time, right? I mean, you know, they've picked up the slack that, you know, I didn't intend for this to be a bashing of men thing, but I'm sure the ladies won't mind a little bit, okay? But, you know, we have somewhat dropped the ball, okay, over the years in our leadership, especially spiritually. Okay, but the women have been rocking it out. I mean, I'm sure there's some single fathers out there, I'm sure, but there's a lot of single mothers that's doing the best thing they can. I saw a quote that's by an unknown author who says, "Man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done." You know, and, you know, here, I'm just going to say this, and my girls can like this one, but mom's rule, dad's drool. Sorry, dads, it's not your day. Okay, all right. Sorry if you're a dad. Okay, all right. But we all know there's a little bit of truth in it. Let me read you a couple more things that I think is very profound and poignant. It says, somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. All right. Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a 3-year-old child. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. All right. Some of y'all are looking at each other. Somebody said good mothers never raised their voices. Well, somebody never came out the back door just in time to see her child hit a golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window. All right. Somebody said you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a fourth grader with his math. Okay. All right. And I have a joke that goes with that, you know, and I'm not a mom, but I'm just going to go with it. Right, Kaylin? I can remember Kaylin. Well, I don't know what grade it was. Fifth, sixth, fourth. It was fourth. It was fourth. Yeah. And it was like, you're supposed to give a reason why the answer wasn't right. You know, it's just like, you know, and I said, just right. That person's not good at math. I don't know. Like, why do I want to know why it's wrong? You know what I mean? Like, why did the guy miss it? Because he stinks at math. Write that. I want you to write that in your answer. Okay. That's from a teacher. But anyway. And then somebody said a mother can find all the answers to her child reading questions in the books. Somebody never had a child stuff beans up her nose. I don't think that's in the book. But anyway. So I'm going to kind of put some more of those in there. I just love the quotes and just it's just so many great ones as we go through today. I know personally... and I'm sure my mom's going to watch, okay? But I had before every game I played, okay? Whether it's baseball, football, basketball, didn't matter from the time I was whatever, how old I was playing to the time I was a senior in high school. I wasn't okay until I found my mom in the crowd. Wasn't okay. All right, when I found my mom, I was good, okay? You know, and I know even now, you know, I've said this before, but once again, my mom, she never fails to send me a message that I have a praying hands and like a love and a heart. You know, I'm praying for you. I know she's praying for me right every day, every Sunday. I know that she's prayed for my for me as I come before you, and so I appreciate that. You know, I couldn't ask for a better mom, and I couldn't ask for a better wife who is also a wonderful mother. You know, she spends time with the girls, and she cleans, she folds clothes, and cooks meals, and washes dishes, and now she's getting a master's degree, you know, bless her heart. And I'm starting to see a little bit more, you know, I'll tell you, more appreciation is definitely coming. It already happened, babe, all right, this year. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Okay, there was a whole lot more, and you know, that I realized, although I was never one to not help. It still has been amazing, and she is an amazing wife and mother. But what do we see whenever we look in the Bible about mothers? What do you see, ladies, whenever you look at yourself in the mirror? Okay. Yes, it's there's stuff in here for guys today too, but this is a Mother's Day message, so y'all bear with me today. I hope it's somewhat comforting to know that there's actually some really bad mothers in the Bible, okay? A couple examples. The lady whose child had died but was willing to have another child cut in two by Solomon. Anybody know that one? Okay. Or Gomer, who cheated on her husband. Okay. Or Job's wife, who told him to curse God and die. All right. Or Athaliah, who killed her own grandchildren. How about that one? Okay. Right. Remember that one. That's what you learned something today. You know, I mean, there are even some who weren't quite that egregiously bad, but weren't great. You know, I wouldn't call them great. Like maybe the mother of James and John, who asked Jesus in Matthew 20 to promise her that her sons can sit on his right and left hand in the kingdom. Make sure my sons are up there with you, Jesus. Or, you know, we don't do anything like that these days, right? All right. But anyway, just want my kids to have it better than I did. Which, can I just say, what's wrong with the way we, you know, you had it anyway, or we have it anyway, right? You know, I mean, we, you know, let's just keep doing the best we can. And then there are some really good mothers in the Bible, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, of course, Jochebed, Elizabeth, Naomi, and others. My point is, don't compare yourself. You know, I just want you to be encouraged today. You are enough. Be the best mother for your kids that you can be, right? The Bible tells us about a mother that might just be the most impressive one in the whole book. The description of the woman is found in the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I read some of it today. Earlier today, I'm going to read some more coming soon. That's what we're going to narrow our focus on this moment, the next few moments, okay? And so the virtuous mother is worthy of praise. So when you look in a Bible, this is just some of the titles, some of the subtitles. I mentioned the one earlier from mine, but when you know the heading that I read for this section in Scripture, there's just a few. Okay, I saw one that was that the heading was "In Praise of a Wife of Noble Character." Another one said, "The Woman Who Fears the Lord." Another one said, "A Description of a Worthy Woman." And so I've often heard it said from the pulpit and other places, you know, the virtuous woman, What a model to live up to, right? And so I want to point out that the description we'll look at today is for the ideal mother. It's not meant to discourage anyone here today because they may think they could never live up to these things. My intent is to point out that the virtuous mother is worthy of our praise. And even though every single point today might not apply to us or to you all the time, all right, we know that nobody is perfect, and I still want mothers to be honored and praised today. All right, so it's still a good idea to strive for excellence in any part of our lives, right? Whether we are male or female. And so as you look on the screen, all right, I got to keep my Baptist preaching card anyway. All right, as we look through this section of Scripture in Proverbs 31, okay, you'll see that the virtuous woman or mother, all right, has honorable character. It's 12 points today, so we'll be here till about 3 o'clock, okay? All right, just playing. Anson, that was kind of a bad joke. Okay, anyway. All right, I didn't go with my normal one, which is we'll be done at 12. All right. For those who don't know, we changed our time for meeting a while back, right after COVID. But it says, has honorable character, is honest. Number 3, is humane. Number 4, is a hard worker. Number 5, has hardness. Number 6, helps the poor. Number 7, is hopeful. Number 8, has a husband who is honored. Number 9, gives heedful advice. Number 10, hustles. 11 is hallowed by children and husband, and number 12 honors the Lord. And it's okay because we're fierce, write all up and down right now. Before we get into this list, let me give some background. In fact, we'll move to a little background here. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, what I read earlier, is an acrostic poem. Okay, so an acrostic poem, each verse begins with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which is not the same as our alphabet, okay? So it cannot be reproduced in English because the letters of the two alphabets vary in their number, their order, their equivalence. I got the following more background information from my father-in-law, who I thought was going to be here today, but I guess they're just going to show up for steaks later. But anyway, at the house. But Proverbs 31 tells of King Lemuel. You can actually see that in the first verse if you go back in Proverbs 31. Okay, you can actually see where it says his name. Right? I'm going to go back and read it here. Okay, the words of King Lemuel, a pronouncement that his mother taught him. Okay, and so it is the wise instruction that he received from his mother. This is pretty neat, right? There is no certainty as to the identity of this king. Many biblical scholars believe it refers to Solomon himself. Right, and that Lemuel may have been a pet name for him, given by his mother Bathsheba. So that's kind of an interesting thought. Okay, and again, that's just commentary there. Not sure about that. But if this is true, Bathsheba had great influence in his life. Solomon isn't talking about the instruction that he received from his father, although I'm sure he received a good bit in this last chapter. But the instruction that he received from his mom. The first 9 verses of this chapter that we're not going to read, he's remembering some of the things that he heard from his mom. And then she must have warned him of the dangers of multiple wives and the value of having a virtuous wife. Okay. And so we're going to go ahead and look at these 12 things that is describing the virtuous woman. Number 1, has honorable character. Proverbs 31 verse 10. Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. And the ESV says, an excellent wife who can find. An excellent wife who can find. The Hebrew word for virtuous or noble character is wider than simply one kind of excellence. It actually means strong in all moral qualities. That's pretty awesome. That's not just, she's not just loving and kind. She's everything, okay? She's all these things, all moral qualities. It makes me think of Ruth. She is actually the only one in the Old Testament that's described by the same word. And we know about her. It was a wonderful, wonderful lady. We did a whole series about her, about that. But look at Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. It says, now don't be afraid, my daughter. I will do whatever you say, since all the people in my town know that you are a woman of noble character. She was talking to Ruth there. Proverbs 18, verse 22 says, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And all the men said, amen. All right, good job. Okay. All right. Proverbs 19:14 says, a house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And if you are a young man this morning and have a few in the house, you know, sometimes you gotta find that woman. Okay, I had to go across the river for mine. All right, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. On the other hand, Proverbs 12:4 says, "A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a wife who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones." Ooh, that's kind of a tough one. We don't want any rottenness in our bones there. Far more precious. I love that picture there. The author of Proverbs shows it is a very important thing to search for a virtuous or excellent woman, not to settle for someone less virtuous, like some young men do, and some young women do as well. All right, amen or me. Charles Spurgeon says, I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. My good mother. You know, I love Charles Spurgeon. All right, had a great mom. And so the first thing about a virtuous woman, is she has honorable character. She has honorable character. Number two, she's honest. She's honest. Okay? Don't just like people just tell the truth. You know? Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. Why is he trusting her? Because she tells the truth. She's honest. Okay? I think we all know how important that is. That any type of relationship, there has to be an element of trust. You know, how many times, if you're a teacher, have you said, you know, like the whole fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, and when you're like, you know, listen, man, I trust you, but if you do something one time, all right, I'm going to have a hard time believing you again, all right? I mean, it's just natural. See, once that trust is gone, it's hard to ever trust again. The virtuous wife not only has the trust of her husband, but the King James Version says that this trust is, quote, safely given to her. Right. David Gusick said, her character is trustworthy. Her character is trustworthy, filled with integrity. She will speak, she will act, and live with wisdom. And therefore, God's blessing will be on their home. Okay. And so, the virtuous woman is honest. The virtuous woman is humane, and that just simply means to do good, guys. Look at verse 12. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. She rewards him with good, not evil. All right. Proverbs 31, verse 12 in the ESV says, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. I like that version really well. And an elementary school student was asked one day, what ingredients are mothers made of? The little student said, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world. And one dab of mean. One dab of mean. Sometimes you know, I mean, the moms are here and like, yeah, I get that. Okay. Because sometimes that dab of mean was necessary at that moment, or every time it was necessary, right? Let us not overlook this, because not all wives does the husband good, nor do all husbands do the wives good. Be good to each other. Help each other out. Pray for one another. One of the things that my uncle who did our wedding many years ago, he shared with me, and I've used it every time for all the weddings that I've done over the years. You know, is because at one time, I don't know the statistics are quite the same, but at one time the statistic was that only 1 in 1,000 marriages where the couples pray together end in divorce. So pray. Or maybe it's something that you've neglected to do recently. Okay, maybe you used to do it. Like, keep doing that, guys. Keep doing that. Pray with each other, right? And then pray for each other. It's comforting to know that my wife is praying for me, right? And I know she does, and I appreciate that. She does me good, right? And so she does good, is humane. The next one is, she is a hard worker. Amen, amen to that one, right? Okay, Proverbs 31, the next couple of verses, next four verses, starting in verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. 18 and 19 in the same chapter here says, she sees that her profits are good and her lamp never goes out at night. She extends her hands to the spinning staff and her hands hold the spindle. She's not lazy. She's not lazy. She is a hard worker. All right. And again, as I alluded to earlier, the mom stays home, which we were able to do. Yeah, it was not easy. Yeah, when the kids were growing up before school, you know, doesn't mean she's not working. She might be working harder than you, guy. All right. I'm just saying. Okay. All right. an elementary school student was also asked, why did God make mothers? And the little student said, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Okay. And also mostly to clean the house. The idea of flax, by the way, the idea of flax there in the verse 13 has to do with making linen, okay? Which, by the way, was a highly valued skill in ancient Near East. Okay, it's a big, big deal when this was written. Okay, the background there, the spinning staff or tools to make linen, which this excellent wife used to make clothing for her family and to sell for profit. She was working. I love that part. The part about she rises while it's still night. Because I was thinking, like, seriously, like 2 nights ago, I had to wake up in the middle of the night to go get Kaylin from the grad venture stuff. I was a zombie. You know, I was like, what time is it? You know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I get back at 4 o'clock. I'm like, you know, but it says there that that women will do that, that ladies will do that. And that's just one example, but they're a hard worker. Number five, they have hardiness. They're strong. Okay, the word hardiness, what I mean there is strength. Look in verse 17. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. Right? I think of, okay, I'm a civics teacher. Okay, I'm a social studies teacher now. All right, I think of Rosie the Riveter. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? You know, right? World War II. All right. I mean, you know, and she's pretty tough, man. You know, but that's the ladies. That's the ladies. Right? She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. Verse 17. She was literally a strong woman, and not just physical strength and stamina, but also think of the strength that goes way beyond how many pounds she can bench press. Amen. Come on, we should be amen from the guys. It's that inner strength that keeps pushing no matter what goes on around her or happened to her. I saw that from my mom growing up. Like, oh my goodness, inner strength. I see it even more as she's gone through cancer, you know, and seeing that. And seeing my wife, and just, like I even said last week, I talked about it. You know, seeing the what happened there with Riley, and then my wife was just so strong through the whole thing. And I told you I was a mess. I acted great, but I wasn't good at all. You know, but my wife and mom's just so strong, right? The next one, number six. Good, we only have till, you know, only a couple hours left, right, Mr. Steve? Okay. Helps the poor. Look at verse 20. Her hands reach out to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. She not only looks after her household and family, but looks after those in need as well. She's a blessing to others, right? And I can, you know, think of the women in this room and say that's definitely you guys. You know, I think of my grandma, who I did her funeral back in October. You know, just the right, Sally, just the hospitality. I mean, it was the place to be. It didn't matter what time of day. It didn't matter. All right. She, you know, and when you come in, no matter what time it is, even if it's like, I don't know, 2 o'clock, you know, she's like, well, let me get something to eat. You hungry? I'm like, no, it's not. Lunchtime, grandma. No, it don't matter. Come on, sit down. What you want? And she, you know, and she just come on and sit. And she wanted everybody to come. She was just so hospitable. She wanted to help everybody. And great mothers, the virtuous wife, the virtuous mother does that. Helps the poor. Also, the virtuous mother is hopeful. Look in verses 21 to 22. She's hopeful. She is not afraid for a household when it snows, for all in her household are doubly clothed. She makes her own bed coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And then verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. And she can laugh at the time to come. Why? Because she's ready. She has hope. She's got everything covered, and she knows that God has her. And so she's got it. She's not afraid when it's cold outside because she's prepared. She is hopeful because of that preparation. Strength and honor are so much a part of her character and conduct that it seemed to be almost like her clothing. Right? Can you relate? Guys, I know, again, another amen there. I want to read that again. Strength and honor are so much a part of her character and conduct that they seem to be almost like her clothing. Okay. Next, her husband. He has a husband who's honored. Okay. And definitely, fellas, you need an amen on this one. Verse 23, her husband is known at the city gates where he sits among the elders of the land. So the city gates were the social and kind of economic hub of the city, of that city. I'm going to go to Job chapter 29 for you and show you a reference there. Starting in verse 7, it says, when I went out to the city gate and took my seat in the town square, the young men saw me and withdrew, while older men stood to their feet. City officials stopped talking and covered their mouths with their hands. The noblemen's voices were hushed and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. When they heard me, they blessed me, and when they saw me, they spoke well of me. But the idea there is to kind of prove that it was an area of where it was a social and economic hub of the city. And this is respect here from all at the city gate, which includes the high and low, rich and poor, peasants and laborers and judges and all. See, we know of men whose wives have tarnished a man's reputation, unfortunately. Okay. And speaking of my mom, I can't, and I'm not just saying this. I don't know that I've ever heard anything bad ever said about my mom. Like and she dealt with a lot of people as a secretary, and I think of how awesome that is to say, right? And it's the same thing I can say about my beautiful wife. I bet some of those men at the city gate were a little envious. Anybody think that? Is that just me? I was kind of thinking, I'm one of those ones, like, man, I wish my wife was like that. Okay. As a husband who is honored. Number 9, gives heedful advice. Look at verse 26. Her mouth speaks wisdom and loving instruction is on her tongue. Sarah Hupp said, a mother's lap is the best place from which to launch a life. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. I love that. Ellen Goodman says, she's someone who will listen to your problems until you are bored with them. All right. What a wonderful thing. Okay. I know I can always go to my wife or my mom for advice. I still do that. Okay, I go to both. Okay, now I got something on my mind. I'm gonna talk to Sally. I'm gonna call my mom. Like, hey, I got this going on. What do you think? Give me some advice. Okay, right. And listen, if you're a child in here, you have a mother, keep that in mind. Okay, you can always go to your mom because she will always give good advice. Okay, whereas your dad will probably say, deal with it. I'm just playing. Get a job. I'm just playing. All right. Number 10, hustles. It kind of goes with hard work, but let's look at it anyway. Verse 27, she watches over the activities of her household in this last couple words, and is never idle. She's active. She's not idle. She's always moving around. I just saw that yesterday. We had to go over to my dad and his wife Debbie to their house to take showers Friday night without the electricity, and then Saturday morning had to go over there again, for a few moments. And Debbie's just all over the place because she's working. She's not idle. She's just she's doing this. She's doing that. She's cleaning here. She's cleaning there. Okay? I always appreciate that. Y'all know I've talked about that many times. That's one of the things that I always appreciate. I used to say it before every game. There's two things that you can control: your attitude and your effort. Right? And that's definitely a truth there. And it's the effort that I always appreciate, that hustle from the mothers. And then number 11, is hallowed by children and husband. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Right? I bet some of you women today are like, oh yeah, I need to hear some of that. Yeah, right. maybe I should hear some of that right there today. So listen, children, rise up and call your mom blessed, and husband, praise her. Okay, praise her, in front of other people. Okay, her work and character bring her praise. I like what Ralph Waldo Emerson says. He's the famous poet and writer. He says, "Together is the most beautiful word in the dictionary, outside of the word mother." This is a wonderful quote there. Husbands, praise your wives. Kids, praise your mom. And then last one, honors the Lord, fears the Lord. Proverbs 31, 29 through 30. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. I like to always tell, and I think I may have done this with Mr. Steve and Miss Donna, when I'm doing marriage counseling, I like to let them look at each other. I think I've told you this before. I like to take a moment and say, I need y'all to look at each other right now. Take a look. Okay. All right. She won't always be that pretty, and he won't always be that good looking. Y'all still want to get married? Okay. I've had a few walk out. I'm just playing. But the point is that, that it's obviously more than just that. And we really should praise our mothers more than just once a year, shouldn't we? Okay? Should be a more normal occasion. May we be trying to do that. Theodore Roosevelt, I have a couple of president quotes here that I thought goes really well with this. Teddy Roosevelt says, praying mothers are America's greatest assets. Praying mothers. All right, anybody want to say that's you? You don't have to raise your hand because we know you already do that. Abraham Lincoln says, no one is poor who had a godly mother. All right, amen, amen. Tony Evans said, y'all know I love Tony Evans as well, old pastor. He says, you can marry a pretty woman. You can marry a witch woman. But many a man has been disappointed when he discovered that the elegance he saw on the outside didn't match what was on the inside. So marry a wise woman of noble character who loves God, and don't let her go. An excellent woman is one who knows how to grab heaven and apply it to earth so life becomes better for everyone under her influence. What a wonderful quote. I know I have one. I ain't letting go of mine. Right there. Don't believe the lies. If you're a mother today, just don't believe the lies. Don't believe the lies that you're not good enough. Right? Not as good as other mothers. And don't get the whole, comparing yourself on social media, because there's a bunch of filters there anyway, right? And they're putting all this stuff, and they're always posting things. It's like, okay. So listen, that's not reality. And fellas, help out, okay? Amen, right, ladies? Help out. Do not take these women for granted. I've mentioned before from this pulpit, and I've mentioned it all, when I do counseling, it's not above you to wash some dishes. Okay, wash some dishes. It's not above you to do laundry or to cook some. All right, do it. I cooked some last night, didn't I, baby? All right, can we go get some steak tonight? All right, a steak today for lunch. All right, but I don't do it as often as I should. But I've had to do it more this year, and I'm telling you, again, it's a challenge. Okay, don't leave everything up to the mother. And again, praise her to others. Talk about her to others in a good way. Read a couple more of those heartwarming quotes here as we wrap up. It says, somebody said, I like the somebody saids again, okay? Somebody said that a child is carried in its mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody does not know that a child is carried in its mother's heart forever. Somebody said you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first. Somebody doesn't have five children. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on the bus for the first day of kindergarten. Somebody said a mother can stop worrying after a child gets married. Somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or daughter-in-law to a mother's heartstrings. Amen. Somebody said a mother's job is done with her when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. Somebody said, your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother. Tell her. The virtuous mother is worthy of praise. Amen. So as we conclude and ask Sally and Mr. Loris, two wonderful moms themselves, to come on up. Charles Wesley said, I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England. I can definitely relate. See, I saw God and my mom every day. What a strong lady. And it just wasn't going to church on Sundays when she made it happen, although she had three of us to take. Whew. Somebody's always asking her, how'd y'all do that? How'd y'all do the whole feeding thing when they were babies? They had to tag team it, man. They had to tag team that thing. She had brothers and sisters that helped out. They said I always cried because I wanted more. So they had to give me double portions. I know that doesn't shock anybody here. All right. Where's Jimmy when I need an amen? Anson, you can do it. Okay. All right. But she made sure that we were taken care of in that situation. And I saw God in her, right, every day. So as we end, well, guess what? Even the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 is not sufficient in and of herself. And while we praise women, and we do, and we praise mothers today, it's definitely their day, and they deserve more than just one day. Amen to all that, right? What it does say about her in verse 30 is that she fears the Lord. She fears the Lord. Her ultimate source of honor is not her own beauty or goodness or hard work and the helping and all those things that we mentioned, all those H's, right? Right? But for the one who provides for every need. The Lord God Almighty. She knows she can't do it on her own. Her sufficiency is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5 as we close out today says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything that's coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Is your sufficiency from God, or are you trying to make it on your own today? Right? Where is that coming from? See, trust him. Trust him, and it would be the best Mother's Day gift if you could give your mom today. See, you really can. And if you, before we go, and I know I tried to get you guys out, I tried to give y'all one extra Mother's Day gift, and I didn't do it today. Gosh, I'm sorry. I went longer than I meant to go. All right? But before we leave, I always have to say that when we talk about salvation, I do think we make it so hard. And it's just a matter of saying, I'm not sufficient. We talk about sufficiency. I'm not sufficient. I'm not enough on my own. My sin, all right, leads me to a real place called hell. Right? But God, amen. But God, many, many years ago, gave his son Jesus to die in my place. That's salvation. All right. Is accepting the fact that we can't make it on our own to a real place called heaven, but we can if we accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross as counting for us in our place. All right? So I pray you'll make that decision today. It can be right now, or you can talk to us after the service as Sally leads us in a song.